So today, I was given a powerful, powerful video that expresses the reality that we're going to be looking at establishing our faith. Because the Bible claims several things. And one of the great things that it claims, and one of the things that we know it acclaims, is the reality that there is power in God's Word. And the Bible particularly declares that it is a book of power. And the power within that book can transform lives. So today, I'd like to share with you something that Mitch Keith gave to me. This is from the Gideons. And you know, the Gideons, they're not into, you know, going out there and preaching elaborate schemes. They are out there giving the Word. That's it. Giving testimonies. And when I say that, I mean the New Testament, okay? And the book of Psalms generally in that. And how that changes lives. And I want you to see a reality. I want you to hear a witness that you will probably never forget. And I want everybody to listen, because this gentleman has something to say to each and every one of us in this room. Ryan, if you would.
It all started for me. I'm 48 years old. 38 years ago, started a lifetime of just darkness and just a satanic dark life. At the age of 10, I was introduced into Satanism, into drugs and alcohol. One of my initiations at the age of 10, I had a cross tattooed on the bottom of my left foot so I could trample God whenever I walked. Eventually, not only did I get involved with other aspects of the occult, but just Christian hating was a religion to me. I mean, I desecrated so many churches, so many cemeteries, nativity scenes at Christmas time, you name it. I just hated Christians. And you guys, in your Bibles, you were one of my worst enemies. I spent 27 years of my life in prison. And the amount of Bibles in prison is just unbelievable. And I had quite the job. I was a janitor in most of the prisons I worked in. And when people go to bed and I'd clean up, my job was trashing all the Bibles and other literature. So I just wanted to, you to know how much I hated Christians. Throughout them years, on top of being involved with the occult, you know, the addictions come with it. Whether it was drug addictions, pornography, cutting, self-mutilation, I was into everything I could. I didn't believe I belonged in this world. I hated life. I hated people. I used people. I manipulated them. It's the only thing that they were good for, is to get what I wanted out of life. The time that I served, everything from petty drug charges to attempted murder, this guy on my neck, I got tattooed here, Eric, I killed him through the use of methamphetamines. So if you don't think that the drugs kill others, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. Well, after this dark satanic life and attempting to take my life on several occasions through the use of drugs, in 2009 that all changed. I was arrested for the last time. I was addicted for 2 years to methamphetamines, and you know, my body took its toll. I was 180 some pounds when I came out of prison in 2006. By 2009, I was 135 pounds, skeletal, still losing teeth to this day. Selling tons of marijuana to pay for my addictions. I got locked up, got arrested for running a drug house, and that was the day they saved my life. I went to the Chippewa County Jail, and one of your members, Cliff Walterstorff, he works at the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry there. You know, enough had happened in my life. I was 43 years old, I think, at the time when this happened. And after looking back at my life, I had just gotten married six months prior to this arrest, and finally woke up one day and was like, I think I have a problem. And I blamed it on the drugs. You know, I didn't look at it, it was my belief system, the occult, my belief system that gave me permission to do all the things that I did. But it was enough to open up the door, to admit that something was wrong with me, for the Lord to start working in me. I wanted to do things on my own like I always did. And I tried, but that thought alone was enough for the Lord to start working. And I seen they had an intense drug and alcohol program there at the jail. Unfortunately, it was a faith-based drug and alcohol program. I really didn't want to get involved with that, but You know, I was pushed to do it. I really wanted to do something for myself in life. And I went, and I let them guys know. I'm like, you know, I'm here to better myself. I don't want to hear none of this Jesus stuff. And Chaplain Cliff Walter starts like, well, if you're going to be in here, you're going to hear what I got to say. I'm like, all right, Chap, but you guys don't talk to me. Man, long story short, I had to have a Bible to do my homework. Oh. Really? So I managed to get the library one day by myself, and I found one of those small little pocket testaments, and I stashed it down my pants, went back to my room, put it under my pillow when no one was looking, and when they'd lock down at night, I'd pull that out and I'd fill in the blanks in my homework. And you know, I went from filling in the blanks to the Lord filling me with life. You know, I came across a verse seemingly, you know, like it didn't have nothing to do with nothing, but it was Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. And that blew me away, because that was word for word part of the cleansing rituals that we performed in the occult. What is this doing here? That's how God caught my attention. So that's when I started reading the Bible and coming across other things. And it was at that time that God started slamming things and putting people and putting books and everything I needed in place when I needed it. You know, as soon as I started having questions about the authenticity of Scripture, because, you know, I thought it was just another mythology book like all the other ones that I studied. Boom, here comes The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Read it. It often tasted the Bible for me, and then I was mad, because I'm like, man, I'm a pretty intellectual person. You tell me for 40 some years I've been lied to and deceived. Here comes a faith-based anger class. Dealt with it. After I dealt with my anger, all the shame of my past started coming at me. Everybody I had anything to do with in life was destroyed. I attempted to kill people. I destroyed my family, anybody I was involved with. Bang, faith-based shame class. And it just happened one after another. And finally, one day, the only thing that was holding me back was the understanding of, I understand forgiveness for all the things people done to me and all things I've done to people, but how can God forgive me for the things I personally did and said against Him? And I brought that up to the chaplain one day, and he's like, what? And I said, what I just said, how can He forgive me for the things I said and did against Him? He said, what? I mean, Chap, don't play with me. And he says, that's what the Lord is saying to you, Brian. As far as the east is from the west, He doesn't just forgive you, man, He forgets it. Man, all my life I want a chance to go back to the age of 5 and keep all the wisdom and knowledge I have now. Just start all over again. You know what? Jesus Christ gave me that chance. He said, I'm going to make a new man out of you. I'm going to give you a new heart. And He can do that for each and every person. That Bible is a living word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the truth is Jesus Christ, and He set me free. And now to this day, you know, not even 2 years after I'm out of prison, I've only been out of prison for 3 years and 1 month, and already I'm in a position to glorify God and share God with others and minister to a church and minister to youth. And hopefully tell these kids, man, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't trust in the Lord. It might not get this bad, but it can. But it doesn't matter to the Lord whether it was as bad as I am or just someone falling back. It's the unbelief. It's having a life without Him. People say, your testimony, I don't have nothing like it. Bull. In the Lord's eyes, it's all the same. We're all fallen creatures. We all need Him regardless of what we're involved with. And one thing I've learned since I've been out of prison is to use everything that the Lord brings into my life for His glory. It was hard for me to, you know, dress up. This isn't me. And one of the things I like to talk about as far as being obedient to God is understanding that everything that we have in our life, God gives us. God gives me. God gave me a truck. God gave me my family back. God restored all my relationships. God gave me a motorcycle. And you know what I did? Like everything else in life, I use that motorcycle for Him because it's His. So whether I'm speaking to the bikers at all these Daytona events and letting them know there is another way, man. There's a way where you don't have to do all this stuff and you can be happy. I thought Christians were the most boring people in the world. Man, I've had so much fun in the last 3 years. It's unbelievable. So I just want to thank each and every one of you guys for everything that you do. And not just the Gideon Bibles, man, but the life books. This has been such a blessing to me and my youth. We do a lot of motorcycle stuff and parades and stuff. My deal, I don't hand out candy, man. I got a backpack full of life books, and I hand these out to the kids. When they see and they ain't getting candy, they're kind of... But they get them. But they get them. Thank you for the life books. Thank you for life. Thank you for everything you do. I preach all the time in my church about going out, because it's you people that save my life. It's the people who go out and not just sit on their dead butt in churches who save lives. So thank you for doing what you do and going out and saving lives.
Pardon my tears, they're tears of joy. You just witnessed something there, and I hope that you truly listened, because I know he spoke to each and every person sitting in this congregation today. The Word of God is a powerful, powerful thing. The Word of God divides right to the very soul and the spirit of a man. And that's his Word. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Lest we sit under the Word of God, we have no idea who He is, and we have no idea of hope. Our lives are what we make of them. But when we turn our life over to God and begin understanding that the very things of this world, the very things that we do, the drugs, the alcohol, the cutting, the use of people, all those things, they're satanic in nature. Every one of them. And we don't realize it until we come face to face with the Word of God. So today, as you saw this young man, and he's in his 40s now, I don't know whether you noticed it or not, did you see what it said on his lapel? Pastor. He's now the pastor of a church. God changed his life to the reality that he now realizes that as a Christian, he is a minister of the gospel, and he's recognized as a pastor of a church. That's transformation, dear people. You can sit here and you can pretend to be something, but the reality is, if you are not in this Word, you are not. You are faking it, you're making it go on your own, and you are going to fail. Those words you can take to the bank, and that's the bank of life. And in that, you will find death. Because your bank account will be empty. So today I challenge you, before I dismiss the children, where are you going to spend eternity? Do you want to know? Begin opening this book and receiving from it the power to change a life. From where you are now, being one of those, as he said it, butts in the pew, to a person who knows the transforming grace of God. And that begins with you. Children. Children's church is open. Head on back. Have a good time. But remember the words you heard. Life only comes as we are transformed by the Word of God. Open your Bibles, if you will, for those of you who are sticking around. And I pray that all of you stick around. To the book of Hebrews. Because I want us to look at this word that we were just speaking. We're going to be in Hebrews in the 4th chapter. We're going to look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Last week, we went over the reality that the Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God. And the fact that the Bible is a difficult book. And we even looked at the third point, and that's why I didn't go over it today. And that is the fact that the Bible is a book of oneness. It's a oneness because it's written by one Spirit, given to us by 40 people over almost 2,000 years by 40 different writers. God brings from this book, from this progressive revelation, because it wasn't given all at one time, we couldn't take it all at one time, and it's the same way in our lives now. We have to submit ourselves to it point by point by point. And God knows that. He doesn't pour it all out at once. If He did, the power in this book would truly destroy us. For we would see our nakedness before God, and it truly would kill us. Do you remember what the Egyptians said when they heard God's voice on the mountain? They said, "Moses, don't have God talk to us, for surely the next time He speaks to us, we're going to die." Because they realized their sin, they realized their situation. But they wanted God's word with them. And that's the power to change. From Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, we read these words. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." The Bible is very clear that the power in this book will force you to look at yourself for who you really are. You can fake it with me. You can fake it with mom and dad. You can fake it with all your friends at school. You can fake it with all the people you work with. And in fact, we can fake it with one another in the church. Amen? But the reality is, you cannot fake it before God. Nobody can. God knows who you are and what you do and what you say. God knows who I am, what I do, and what I say. One of the most amazing things to me about being a Christian is, you know, it's easy to be a Christian in front of people. Do you know where it's difficult? In the quiet recesses of your own mind. Think about that statement. It's easy to say the right things when everybody's watching. It's actually easy to do the right things when everybody's watching. But what happens when you're the only person in the room? What happens when you're at that low place in your life? What happens when you're at the secret place? That's where God shows us who we really are. Do you like that person? Do you like what that person does? Do you like how that person acts? That's the question you need to ask. And that's the question that the Bible brings to us. Because remember, the Bible is written by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is here, the Holy Spirit, to convict us of sin and righteousness. And we need to remember that the only way we're going to know what sin and righteousness is to read this word. That's why most people don't want to read this word. You know that? Because there is power in it. There's power to see what is really there. I don't know about you, but every time I look in the mirror, I think of myself as a particular way, okay? And you're all guilty of this. Every one of us is. We see ourselves in a particular way. But when we look into the mirror, we come face to face with the reality of who we are, don't we? I don't look in the mirror and, you know, when I'm out there in my life and doing my things, even now, standing up here, I don't see my gray hair, my white hair, okay? I don't see the drooping edges around my eyes, the crow's feet that are coming in, you know, the cracks on the forehead that are getting deeper as I get older. I'm this young guy, spry and ready to go, until the weather acts up and my hip starts bothering me. But through the Word of God, there's a reality that says, I know who you are. I know what you're capable of. I know the hope I have for you, and I know the plan I have for you. And it's only in that word that you're ever going to find that hope, and it's only in that word that you're ever going to find that future. So many of us try to go it alone. You heard this young man, as he said, he tried to do it himself, as he always did. Because doesn't the world tell us to do that? We sell more self-help books in the United States than any other nation in the world. You have a problem, you have a situation, all you have to do is Google it, and I will guarantee you there are 50, 100 writers who have written a book on it, and you can buy them all for just $19.99. And wait, there's more. Right? God says, no, I revealed it once. There's one book. Read it. Because in it is the hope of your life. Because in it is life. Because the Word was with God and the Word was God. You know, the amazing thing about that is we translate it was because we're people of English language. But do you know how the Jewish people translate that verse? It says, in the beginning is the Word, and the Word is God, not was. Because it's active, it's now, it's present, it's real, it does not stop. He does not stop existing. From ever past to ever present is all now in the Hebrew line of thought. Where are you? Are you looking back to the past or hoping for the future? Or are you working at it right now through the Word of God to see who you are and receive the power that only He can bring you? God gives us His Word for a reason. God gives us His Word so that when He speaks to us, it doesn't come back empty. Do you know that's the truth? Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. So many people think that God's words are empty. God's promises are empty. You know, we pray, we read the Word, we do whatever, and it doesn't happen in our time, right? We want it now. We are a people of instant gratification, aren't we? We love instant cake mixes and instant pudding and instant mashed potatoes and instant everything because that means I can have it now. But God has a word for us to remember, and I want us to remember it well. We're in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. From verse 10, thus saith the Lord, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God sends His word. The only way we receive that sent word is to read it, to take it into ourselves. It becomes a seed of germination within us. That young man that was up there, do you remember how he said he just opened himself up a little bit and God used that as the doorway? That's all it takes, is us to open up just a little bit to the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God does the rest. The Spirit of God opens us up and makes us into a beautiful tree in the garden that God has planted. He establishes deep in us the miracle of growth in the Word of God. He gives us the ability to understand and know and become everything that God has intended. But we have to stay fast in that Word. You have to treasure it up, to store it up. In your newsletter, you're going to see where I talk about vision being a big part of who we are. It's kind of like a tree that needs to be watered. All right, and the same thing can apply here. If we're not reading the Word, we're not being watered. We are not gaining that which we need to bring us to life. And that's the reality of our Word. Without the Word, we have no idea what life is. Without the Word of God in our lives daily, not monthly, not on Sunday when we come because, well, the preacher's going to tell us what it says. But having that personal commitment to Him, you're not committing to a book when you read the Bible. You're committing to God. You want to hear from Him. This is a personal conversation every time you open that book. Okay? That's one of the reasons that I love to see you bring your own Bibles. I'm looking at Bibles around the room right now, and some of them are really new, and that's kind of awesome and cool. I'm glad to see you got a new Bible. But you know what thrills me? When I see a Bible like this, a Bible that's worn, a Bible that's known. This says friend to me. This says I love you. This says I have a Lord, I have a Savior, I have a hope. It says I know you and you know me. How many of us treat our Bible in that regard? You know, my sister told me one time I was throwing a bunch of Bibles away from the church that I was serving. They were no good anymore. They were falling apart. Pages were missing. My sister said, "Oh, you can't throw them away. They're the Word of God." I said, "No, sis, they're just books. And they're past their date. And it's time to buy new ones." I said, "Because it's only when the Bible reaches the heart of a human being that it becomes the Word of God. You can put that book on the coffee table. You can put that book in your purse. You can put it in your car, wherever you happen to keep it. But until you put it into your heart, it's nothing but a book. But when you put it into your heart, it now becomes the living Word, living in you to change you from glory to ever-increasing glory. That's the power of the Word. The power of the Word is going to go into your life if you'll take it, and it will accomplish the goal that God has set for it. How many of you know where you're going to be 5 minutes from now? Well, you'll probably be here with me, and I'll still be talking, right? How about tomorrow? Next month? Next year? The one thing I know is this. You have no idea what tomorrow holds. You don't even have an idea of what the next second holds. But I know who holds those things. And if I'm working and walking with Him and taking His Word into me, He knows the plan He has for me, and He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. If I have to bring it to pass, how much failure is going to come into my life? How much destruction am I going to wrought upon myself? How much am I going to hurt other people? Because my nature, my will, is a sinful nature and a sinful will. Amen? And every one of us can say that, can't we? Because it's the truth. Even though we are in Christ Jesus, we are still sinners at the core. It is only by the grace of God and the power of His Word that we're changed other. The power of the Bible is also a cleansing power. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, I'm going to have you all over the Bible because you need to be all over the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27. Now, there are going to be some of you here who are going to say, "Okay, Pastor, you're taking this out of context." Well, let's read it and see what the context is, because the context is not being taken out. He's talking about something in particular, but later on he says, "I am talking about Christ in the church." So we need to understand God is talking to us in this reality. From verse 25, in the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews, we read these words. "Husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word, and to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." When you and I are in this Word, Christ is washing us up. He's cleaning us up. It's time to do the dishes. And you are the dishes. You are the vessels of His choosing. Remember, this is talking about Christ in the church. And the Word is here for what? To clean these vessels out. To take out of us the stain of sin. To cleanse us, that He may present us before Himself without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish. Yes, we are justified. Yes, God says we are righteous. We have no sin before Him because of the blood of Christ. But does that mean we stop there? No, we cannot stop there. Because we know that in that justification, God says, "I don't see your sin," but we know it's still there, and we have got to work out our sanctification over time. Boy, isn't it amazing how we just talked about this stuff in Sunday school class. I was laughing because Bobby was like, and Pastor Rich says, and I was like, yeah, he's going to say it again today. Every time we have a discipleship class, I change that for Miss Dottie's sake and for mine, because I got to get used to that new word. Every time we have a discipleship class, we are in the Word of God. Why? Because He has the words of life, and we are to be His disciples. We are to be under His teaching, under His Word, that we can be cleansed and be used in this world by God to help change the world. That young man that we saw up there on that screen, and think about his life, where it was, and how stealing a Bible. Did you catch that? He stole a Bible. What a book to steal. I lost one once, and I had to laugh because I was at a Bible college, Lancaster Bible College, and I had my Bible open, all my books open. I was studying between classes. It was Wednesday night, and I was generally there until almost 10:30, and I was there. You know, classes ended at 3, so I went to the student union, and I'm sitting up there, and I'm reading, doing my homework, and I went for lunch, came back. You know, hey, I'm in a Christian school, right? I can let my stuff lay. I came back, and my Bible was gone. A brand new NIV study Bible. I didn't even have that sucker 3 weeks, and it was gone. I was so upset. I went to the dean's office and I told him, somebody stole my Bible. And the dean looked at me and said, you're kidding. I said, no. I said, here we are in a Bible school and somebody stole my Bible. He said, well, if there's a book that needs stolen, it's that one. That blew me away. I thought, hey, you know what? He's right. So I went to the student union or student library or student store and bought another one. But think about that. Here's this gentleman stole a Bible, and it changed his life. How many of us would steal away the Word of God? And you all know what I mean by that, right? Steal it away in our hearts. Store it up. He took it back to his room, shoved it in a pocket, took it back and put it under a pillow. God says, store it up in your heart. Steal it away in your heart, because there it will change who you are. There it will cleanse you. There it will divide you to the point where you know where you stand with me and what you need to work on. You will understand the difference between that which is holy and that which is unjust and that which is Satan in your life. And I hate to tell you this, folks, but there's a lot of Satan in our world, and our world says it's okay. And we bought it. A dear brother of mine has said so many times that every time we turn on the TV, do you know what we're doing? We're inviting Satan to puke right into our living room. Think about that, because that's truth. We are inviting Satan himself to puke right into our lives. And we just draw it right up. What's wrong with us? The world has gotten a hold of us. Satan has gotten a hold of us. We need to be cleansed. We need to be purged. We need to be fed. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23 through 2:3. 1 Peter 1, 23. From the 23rd verse, we read these words. For you have been born again, not by perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. This is the Word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, evil, or envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Brothers and sisters, the Word of God, as I said earlier, is like that seed that's planted in us, and it begins to grow and change us into what we are yet to become. You know, I think about that. You know, how many of you know, what do you think of when you think of an oak tree? You look at this oak tree. I used to have one on my farm. And when I lived in Seven Valleys, we had an old oak tree there. I reckon the tree was probably around 250 to 300 years old. The diameter of the tree was over 4 feet. Okay? Beautiful big oak tree. And I'd look at that thing and I'd just sit there and I was like, oh man, that is just so beautiful. But the part that I hated about it was every year when the acorns would fall, I would have millions of oak trees growing around my barn. I'd have to go around and pull them suckers out. And I got to the point where I hated those acorns. My cows loved them because they would come down to the oak tree and they would eat those things. But I hated them because every one of those things turned into a tree. Now think about that. From that stupid little acorn came that tree that towered some 80 feet, 4 feet in diameter, and lived. Like I said, I'm 300 years? I mean, a 4 foot diameter oak tree, they don't grow quick. And we're the same way. God plants a small seed, the seed of the Word, into our lives. And we don't grow quick, do we? But I want you to remember something. If we receive that seed into our lives, God grows us into eternity. Not 300 years, not 3,000 years, not 3 million years. Eternity. It's forever. Unending. A relationship with Him that has no end. And during that entire time, we're going to be learning about Him, who He is, what He has in store for us. Think about that. You thought school was over when you graduate. It's just begun. And what a ride it's going to be. But then also, He says that He gives us every seed-bearing plant for food too, right? Didn't He say that? And even here, He says that He's going to show us this spiritual milk so that we may grow up into our salvation. Now that we have tasted that the Lord is good, we need to understand that when we take in the Word, we are tasting the Lord. We are being fed the manna that God has apportioned unto us. Just like the people, when they were coming out of Egypt and on their journey for 40 years, they got to eat manna for 40 years. How much did they like manna? They liked it at first. It was good. Then after a while, oh man, all we got's this manna. And aren't we the same way? Oh man, I got to read the Word again today. I really don't have time. I got so much to do in my life. You know, I got to... What? How in the world are you going to live lest you eat? I mean, every one of us in this room eats dinner, don't we? We eat lunch, we eat breakfast, we have snacks in between. Sometimes that's all we have. Is snack after snack after snack, and then when it comes mealtime, we don't want it, do we? God says, turn your heart towards Him. Look at the reality of what He's giving us. First, it starts off with spiritual milk. How many of us understood the deep things of God when we first came to Jesus Christ? I know I didn't. I could barely understand the infant things. It took a time for me to gain understanding because the Spirit had to do a work in me. Because I thought I was all growed up. I know who God is. I was told. And that brings us right back to where I started, doesn't it? We all have these conceptions. And God says, you know the worst thing I have to do is get you to throw all that stuff away so I can really show you who I am. That's why we're doing these studies. That's why we're doing this preaching. Because we are establishing the foundations that this church is going to grow off of until the coming of Christ. And I'm going to reteach these and reteach these and reteach these to every new member that comes into this church. Because we need to understand that the Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. It is the authority of Christian faith and life. It is the power of God unto transforming the soul from death to life. It is the regenerating power, giving us the glory of Jesus Christ, bringing us to the image of God, that we may be called the sons of God. And if we're not in it, we have done nothing but deceived ourselves, because the world doesn't care. But God does. So, brothers and sisters, what does God say to us concerning His Word and being in it? First off, it's our food, right? You can't live without food, can you? But secondly, God actually commands us to read His Word. Did you know that? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's my final point today. 2 Timothy. Just back a few chapters. Just back a few chapters. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 15. Verse 15. This is, to me, this is kind of neat, because at Lancaster Bible College, this is the scripture that drives that school forward. This is the scripture that is engraved in plaques everywhere around the school. When you walk into the library, it's over your head. When you walk into chapel, it's over your head. And it's something that we should remember every day. From verse 15, I want us to read it together. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the Word of truth. Brothers and sisters, we are to read the Word of God to please Him, to present ourselves to Him. All right? Because when we get there, when we start talking with God, He's going to know whether we know Him or not, right? How are we going to know Him? Only by reading His Word. So He tells us, present yourself to me as one worthy, having known the Word. You know, Jesus says there are going to be those who are going to come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord. And I'm going to say, away from me, for I never knew you, because they were not in His Word. Every day of our lives, find the time. No. Make the time. No. God gives us the time. Will you accept it? There's only 24 hours in a day. You don't get 26 on the days that you're feeling lousy. And He doesn't give you 23 on the days that you think need to be short. There's 24. Within those 24 hours, God says, give me time. He's the creator of time. Are we going to invest time with Him? Are we going to open ourselves up to the power of this book and the reality of establishing our faith? Because I'll guarantee you, God does not care about your opinion. He doesn't care what you think. He cares what you know. That's why He gave us this book. In fact, do you know it says that in the Scriptures? I write this that you may guess about it? No. I write this that you may know. He has revealed to us His truth so that there's no questions in our minds. You saw a gentleman up there, he had all kinds of questions, didn't he? In fact, he turned in a direction that he thought was his answer to get away from this thing of Christianity, to get away from this God of the Bible, to get away from the Bible itself. And isn't it amazing that even when he was doing that, remember, the scripture that he found that touched him the deepest, the one that got his attention, was one from the very occult that he was worshiping? and wash yourself with hyssop. Isn't that amazing? Because even Satan knows the power of the word. Why? Because he was an angel of glory. And he knows the power in that word, and he is going to twist it just a little, and in that twisting, he makes it a lie. So we need to know the word so that we can be set free. For when you know the truth shall set you free. And Jesus Christ is the truth, and the word of God is the truth. So this Sunday, I want you to look at your Bible a little differently. I want you to realize what it is, the power of that tool that you have in your life. And I want you to ask yourself the reality, the question in each and every one of our lives, am I investing time with God? You know, I have a lot of friends I take out in the woods because so many people say they can connect with God in the woods. But you want to know one of the things that's in my backpack when I go out in the woods? I carry a Bible with me every time I go out. God made this world that we can experience Him. But if I want to talk to Him, I got to open His Word. Because that's how God talks back to us. Through His Word. Would you open the book so that you may be an open book? Because remember, for some, you're the only Bible they're ever going to read. Would you pray with me this day? Gracious God, we come before You as Your children. And Lord, we understand that You have written this book for us to know who You are. To understand the power that You've given us. The power to change lives, not only ours, but our hearers as well, as we speak of our testimony and how You've touched us. Lord, we don't need to know it all, but we definitely need to store it up. Treasure Your Word in our hearts, that we may be changed and that others may be changed likewise. For Lord, without Your Word, we have no truth. We have only our own opinions, and our opinions lead to death. So, Father, guide us into Your truth that we may stand and establish our faith as only Your Word tells us, through its authority, through its power, through its cleansing grace, that we may know You now and know You evermore as we submit ourselves to You through the power of Your Word. For these things we pray Thee in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.